Hello and welcome to another Pix podcast over here at Her Little Sons. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me ND Tex. And as always, you can catch us live over here on twitch.tv/Her Little Sons. But make sure you're also subscribing to us over on the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Come join us in Discord. That is our live chat channel, herlittlesons.com/Discord. And of course, you can always find us over at our home at herlittlesons.com. And with that said, I bring in Eddie. Eddie, how are you doing, sir?
Well, the actual answer to that question might actually finally get this godforsaken show killed off. So I'm just going to go with I'm feeling good about the picks last week.
Hey, look, apparently we're a political podcast now, according to a couple reviews. So whatever. Put us out of our misery, Eddie. You can do it.
I'm going to celebrate another winning week for your boy.
There we go. Yeah. So, we've taken a little bit of, we're not doing as good as we started. It wasn't by far a disaster. I'm starting to slip into it because, man, I'm like Brian Kelly, like pre-yoga era at ND, like falling apart when the calendar flips over to November because yeesh. Eddie, you got a lead on me now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I am 28, 32, and 1. Eddie, 39, 31, and 1. And as a reminder, the reason we're keeping track of all this, even though we're not doing a pick'em, is because of Extra Life. So this little tomfoolery will go on until the end of the regular season. And the loser will make a $100 donation to Extra Life, which, speaking of, there is another big event going on. And that is the Extra Life Marathon. And of course, as we've discussed before, that will coincide and start right before Notre Dame and Clemson kicks off. I'll be doing a live reaction stream during the game, but I'm actually able to share some news as far as stuff that is for sure going to be happening. So as long as our schedules don't go haywire, I'll have a recorded interview. It'll be like the tailgate to the stream. We'll have some tailgating with Ty Hildebrandt of the Solid Verbal. So I will get a time for that. It will debut right before the show over at extralife.ndtex.com, which is where you can find all the fun and games. It will also be on the podcast feed as well. So if you haven't subbed, now's a good time. We also have Miss Tech. She is a Final Fantasy 14 streamer, but she is also a huge Clemson fan. So we will have a little bit of a pregame show, a spirited one, and that will go from 6 o'clock, where the 24-hour stream will start, all the way up until kickoff. Halftime, we will bring in our friends from Notre Dame, our blogger, and then we will have
a good Notre Dame website. Nice.
Oh, asshole. So I have no idea what that's going to look like, but I'm sure it will be fun. Very excited to talk to those students. And post-game show with Shane will not be here on the HLS Twitch channel. We'll be through extralife.ndtex.com, but we will have our usual recap post-game show. It'll be all Notre Dame Clemson, I'm sure, as that is the big news. And there will also be a little incentive for you maybe to call in for a little bit of a donation. So keep your ears peeled for all that. And there'll be some video games, other fun, looking forward to it. And there will be awful drinks. There will be spicy wings and a lot of humiliation probably on my part. That's how these things usually go. So I'm excited about it. And now that I got that spiel out, Eddie, I mean, there's picks and stuff that we got to do, right? The Pac-12's back.
The Pac-12 is back. There are some picks. I do think we need to talk about our records. I think you may have included the Clemson-BC game, which sadly
we agreed wiped off. Yes.
To wipe, even though we are both going to take a win off the board. I've got us, I'm 30-29-1, and you're 29-30-1 by my count, but we can check that later too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I would not be surprised if my math is on. What do you have me at? You said 29, 30?
29, 30, and 1.
Okay. And then you are 29, and 1, correct?
Yes, sir.
I actually trust your math more than mine. I need to get some sleep before this 24-hour marathon. it's been a week outside of other things that may involve counts and tallyings and other things beyond that. It's been a week at work. It's been crazy, but I am ready to dive back. There's action on TV. There's football to be had. Eddie, lead us into this. Get us back in the right state of mind.
Let's go, baby.
That made me feel all better. I needed that, Eddie. Well,
always happy to help.
Well, what we're going to start with, because we also had the return of the Mountain West not too long ago, if you will remember. And we get to talk about a little bit of Friday football, an actual Friday top 25 matchup, believe it or not. And that is going to be number 9, BYU, a 3-point favorite against Boise State. Total is 60. Number 9 versus number 21 out on the blue turf. Eddie, lead us off, sir.
I'm going to take the Mormons, even though I always distrust them. This line's been moving in a hurry, opened up at a pick'em pretty much across the board, and Vegas has been hustling to keep up with bettors. I think they're still a few points off. Boise just now getting back, only played 2 games. Meanwhile, BYU has just been beating the brakes off people all year long. 7-0 in the record, 6-1 against the number. They've been scoring just like crazy. I don't think Boise's ready for this yet. I will take BYU here.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Mormons as well. This is a game I've been looking forward to because really, this is BYU's statement game. And that's really the main reason I want to take them, because the rest of their schedule and what they've been playing before really hasn't been much to write home about. Now, granted, Boise State isn't exactly, Power 5 world beater, but you gotta beat the teams on your schedule, and Boise State's about as good as it get. And not only that, Boise State has been having a little bit of injury issues here. Hank Bachmer was out over in the win against Air Force this past week, so a little bit banged up. I am scanning around news very, very last minute right now to see who's going to be playing. But it just said it's unclear. So that doesn't make me feel any better. That's one of those things to where I feel Bachmeyer, if he even is playing, is going to be at less than 100%, which does not bode well for trying to fend off a team trying to make a statement. I think all systems are going to be go for the Cougars in this one. So I will take BYU. Let's flip over to Saturday, where Michigan, somehow, despite losing to Sparty in very ugly and hilarious ways, there was a good Valenti rant. I needed that to power me through the week as well. They're a 3-point favorite against number 13, Indiana. 54 points is the total, and look, normally, it feels like a Sophie's choice here, because really, Indiana, they shouldn't have won, by all accounts, and I hate to Michigan man yards point here, but they really shouldn't have won that game against Penn State. I have a feeling there's going to be a little bit of coming back down to earth. The thing that gives me pause is they're the home team, and Michigan doesn't do well on the road. And look, Michigan did some nice things today, but the bottom line for this is I don't quite trust Indiana yet, and God, I feel sick to my stomach. I'll take Harbaugh, and look, if this is a case of me picking wrong consistently against Michigan, because look, we both took Minnesota, Eddie, and Michigan beat the brakes off them. We both picked Michigan, and Sparty upset them, so all else fails, we're a curse for Michigan, or at least I'm a curse, so fuck it. Give me the Wolverines. Bill Dury, who do you got?
Well, hopefully we are a curse, because I'm also on the Wolverines here. Indiana's been a very fun story. They obviously some great upsets, but there is a first-year Ty Willingham smoke and mirrors aspect to this team.
Oh my God, there is.
a lot of turnover luck. The offense, as you mentioned, hasn't really done a ton. You know, you never know where Penix penetration will get you. Obviously, it's been good for him so far, but I don't think that the turnover luck is going to stay. And I think Michigan is just a considerably more talented team. Obviously, the loss to Michigan State was a hilariously bad one for them, but I think that's created a huge value here. I think this line is way too low. So I'm going to take the Wolverines as well.
Revenge tour. The third, the second. I've lost count. It's just hilarious at this point. Oh, Harbaugh, you never cease to continue to give me joy. Well, speaking of rivals, we haven't had the chance to have a true, God-honest, Notre Dame perfect Saturday because Southern Cal has not been playing. And they are ranked number 20. They are an 11-point favorite at home. They are playing Herm, Eddie. Herm is back on the board.
Hello.
58 is your total. And like I said, SC is an 11-point favorite. Back-to-back awful, god-awful teams. But, Eddie, let's go ahead and do the pick.
Well, as if I didn't have enough of a taste of vomit in my mouth from the last pick, it's sadly going to continue here. I'm taking the Trojans. I don't want to feel this way, but I think USC's going to be really good. Kevlar Slurpee is still there. You've got all-world receivers. You've got skill, you know, every skill position. They're chock full of talent. Clay Helton is still a fucking idiot, but probably saved his job by not playing for the last 6 months because of a pandemic. They're an incredibly talented team, whereas Arizona State lost all their best weapons. The other thing to mention about this game, 9 a.m. local kickoff, which, yeah. Holy hell, I cannot tell you how angry I would be. Like, the odds of me making the game would be extremely low. But I feel like that is going to bode better for USC. I could see Arizona State coming out a little sleepy on defense. And if you let those receivers get a step, that's six. So I'm going to take the Trojans.
And speaking of, if you're wanting, if Fox is your favorite pregame college football flavor, you're going to see some NFL faces on there because apparently the entire crew is out for the pregame show. And due to protocols in L.A., apparently somebody had contact or something. Fox is tight-lipped right now, or at least as of the recording of the show on Wednesday night. So nothing much there, a lot of weirdness going on. And this is another one of those rough ones, Eddie, because honestly, I 1,000,000% agree with your interpretation of the talent disparity between the two teams. What worries me is, the couple of factors. This is a week one, you know, essentially for both these teams. We have seen a lot of week one sloppiness and we see it repeated throughout the leagues again and again and again. However, we have seen exceptions, and usually the exceptions are the extremely talented teams beating up on teams that aren't anywhere close to the neighborhood of them. For as much hell as we just gave Michigan, they were far more talented than Minnesota. Minnesota had half their team out with COVID, just about, it felt like. Ohio State, you know, took a half for them to figure things out, and then they beat the brakes off of Nebraska. So it's not like it can't happen. And look, I think we've made it well known that Herm is not quite what we enjoy as far as college football. He's got that NFL conservative streak to him, and I don't think that's going to bode well with him as well. As much as I would love to fade you and try to get a game back, Eddie, I'm going to go with you here. I do think there's just too much talent, because really what this game for me comes down to is SC, despite all the potential sloppiness, has the ability to get two quick scores. And then after that, I don't know what the hell Arizona State's going to do. So once they're up by a couple touchdowns, it's all they need. And that, at the end of the day, is what's going to seal it for me. Next up, we're going to do a little bit of a look ahead to our next opponent. Boston College, a 13.5-point favorite after giving Clemson a little bit of a scare for three quarters. They are playing Syracuse, who has been just quite a mess. 52.5 is the total for this one. And right now, I mean, man, I wish I could use the Action Network numbers, because there's a huge disparity between money and tickets right now, or not a huge one, but a sizable one. But here, what worries me is that right now, I think so much is being put on that last game for Boston College. This feels like an absolute letdown scenario. They poured out the entire tank, and now they got to cover two touchdowns on the road against Syracuse. Now, as much as I like and have actually picked BC, I think they're better at kind of keeping games close, keeping being able to do smaller covers. I know Syracuse is awful, but this, it just doesn't feel right. I feel like something's gonna, this has to be a look down spot. Syracuse is awful. That's the main thing I think that's gonna backfire here, but I'm gonna go ahead and take the points in this one. I just don't trust BC enough to be able to maintain that high intensity energy. And also, Notre Dame's around the corner. It's the good old let down look ahead sandwich. You emptied the tank, you're trying to get it up again. It's a recipe for disaster, I think, for the cover. Who do you got, Eddie?
I agree with everything you just said about Boston College. Here's the problem, though. They're playing fucking Syracuse.
Yeah, they're real
bad. This team sucks. This team got bodied by Liberty. They got bodied by Duke. They got bodied by Wake Forest. And we're not talking about what Clemson did to them. We're talking about really bad teams. I agree that this is a perfect opportunity to pick against Boston College. You've got the letdown after a hell of a performance last week against Clemson. Got to give them credit for what they did. They made that a much better game than I think most would have expected. And obviously, you've got the battle with Notre Dame coming up next week. They could be looking ahead some. But this Syracuse team is just outright fucking garbage. And because of that, I don't care how many existential causes we want to put against them, I will happily lay the points here.
Yeah, look, this is one where I figured this would be the one where we absolutely differed. So I'm gonna take a little bit of a shot on that letdown look ahead there. So hopefully this doesn't backfire and all of a sudden I'm down two. But we got more games to pick. We got two top 10 matchups to pick. Got a little bit of late night action going on as well, and we will pick those right after this. All right, we are back, and it's time to pick a little SEC top 10 action. Number 8, Florida. Number 5, Georgia. Georgia, a 3-point favorite here. 53 is the total. And Eddie, this is an interesting game to take a look at, because Georgia has been playing fairly solid. They really feel like they're exactly what we always expected them to be, right? Good defense. Offense might be a little bit of a question mark. Florida started out on fire. They look great. Then they got COVID. Pack in the swamp turned into a game cancellation. Didn't get to see them against LSU. And now they got to knock off the rust and go take on Georgia. And really, it's that factor, and I hate that I'm using that as the reasoning for my pick. It feels a little icky, but it's the way I feel about this game. I don't like that they got to go on the road. Oh, well, they're actually having to play on the road. Are they neutral siting this?
Yeah, it's still in Jacksonville.
Oh, wow. I'm actually surprised about that. Well, that's in good favor for them. So not much of a road game. But they are going to have to go into the teeth of a really tough defense. And you have no idea how much practice was interrupted. It was the same logic that I used when picking against Notre Dame after we had the same thing happen to us, is trying to figure out how stuff is going to be put together. And things get a little bit messy. And Notre Dame was facing a paper bag of a defense. Florida's not. And that's really what concerns me. And of course, the last time we saw Florida on the field, they kind of got pants by the Aggies, and third and Grantham was a huge thing. And when you face an offense like Georgia that isn't really a big, huge strike team, you're going to get a lot of those third downs, and you got to get them off the field. And damn, I don't trust that for happening to Florida whatsoever. So go ahead and give me the dog. See what you got, Eddie.
Buddy, I got bad news for you. Everything you just said is hilariously inaccurate. I'm on the Gators here. Florida did play last week. They beat the shit out of Missouri, both on the scoreboard and on the field. If the football game itself didn't get the rest off, the brouhaha at halftime certainly did.
How did I forget about Darth Mullen? Holy shit.
Yeah, Dan Mullen's gone full heel. He looked like a goddamn wrestler trying to amp up the crowd after the fight. They just destroyed Missouri. And Georgia typically has a very good defense, but they're missing at least three starters, including both of their defensive tackles. So with those injuries and Florida heating up, they're feeling good about themselves. I'm going to take the Gators.
Well, fuck, I don't feel real good about myself then. See, kids, this is what happens when you try to do a pick show in the middle of all kinds of crazy 2020 bullshit. I forgot what fucking week it was. I 100%, and it's hilarious because I actually listened to some podcasts and shit this week. I actually had time, and all I remember, I'm like, wow, that's funny. Mullen's getting fined. He started a fight, and I totally forgot. I think that's more of an insult to Mizzou than anything else, but oh well. Look, I ain't going to go back and change my picks. I'm sticking with it. I'm probably dead wrong, so I guess I got to make up a game somewhere else. Anyways, Washington State, Oregon State. This game is in here for one reason and one reason only. It's Pac-12 after dark, and it doesn't look as mind-numbingly awful as the other option that features Cal and Washington. So if I'm expecting the game to get a little crazy, this one's it. 1.5-point favorite are the home Beavers. 65.5 is the total. Who do you got, Eddie?
I know absolutely nothing about either one of these teams. Not a thing. Couldn't tell you a thing about either one of them. What I do know is this line opened up at as a 3-point favorite for Washington State. The line has been moving like crazy. In fact, it's moved so much that with 4.5 points of movement, I feel like there's got to be value on the other side, right? Give me Wazoo. What the hell?
Well, you know what? I'm actually right there with you for similar reasons. And I know it's early, and it's been a long time since we've actually said the public betting. But right now, exactly what you said is because of the movement, because 65% of the bets and 79% of the money are on the Beavers. And I absolutely think it's what caused that line to shift like that. But not only that, look, if there is peak weirdness to go on, is that Washington State, now freed of Mike Leach, has some kind of crazy, finally that asshole's gone from our team and we can play football now type thing. There could be some craziness there. And look, taking the points, even though there's not many of them, is always kind of a good idea. And especially if Washington State was the favorite at first. Vegas didn't have that for no reason. I know they're trying to catch up and even things out, but I'll stick with Vegas's initial gut reaction too, my friend. And that brings us to your pick, Eddie. Looks like we're having to travel a long distance for this one. What do you got?
Baby, we're back. Get out your lays. It's time to dance. We're going to the island. New Mexico, Los Lobos, up against your Rainbow Warriors of the University of Hawaii. Hawaii laying 15.5. Robert Kukula, take me into the night, you beautiful, beautiful man. Ryan, what you got?
I tell you what I got. This on a second stream while I'm streaming Halo, because I am definitely going to participate in this. I will be awake for this. I will enjoy whatever craziness that happens. And New Mexico sucks ass. Give me Hawaii.
Yeah, it's it feels like way too many points, but you hit it on the head. This New Mexico team is garbage. Bad.
Bottom 25 caliber shit right here.
Yeah, I mean, they got smoked by San Jose State. Hawaii looked good in the opener against Fresno. They did not look great against Wyoming, but I blame that on the wind. You know, those island boys were not ready for Laramie's wind tunnels, so we'll take that one off the board. I also saw a story today that a collection of rings has been stolen from Hawaii coach Todd Graham, which, hey, did you know that Todd Graham was coaching Hawaii?
I did not until I saw a picture of him with the Britney Spears microphone tucked underneath his mask on Twitter.
The timeline both of the last 2 weeks has been a whole bunch of people going, wait, what? When did that happen?
Including when the Hawaii game. I think the one that posted it was Spilly. Oh, what the hell? Pitt fans don't even know this is going down.
I was going to say, I feel like Pitt got their most of their anger out two coach changes ago. I think they've kind of let up on it somewhat, but yeah, New Mexico's real bad. We'll go ahead and lay the points.
All right. Well, that brings us to your main event of the evening, a top five matchup. The last time I do believe now, you know, this is a little bit risky since I was just hilariously wrong before making statements I was confident in. But as I said on Sunday, the last time I believe a team of this caliber came trotting into Notre Dame was the number one SC Trojans. So it's been some time, and Notre Dame was not highly ranked at that time. They were very much a massive underdog. This time it's a little bit closer, and it's a whole hell of a lot weirder. As of course, and unless you've been living under a rock, Trevor Lawrence will not be playing. On top of that, Clemson also has a bevy of injuries as well on the defensive side of the ball, much like they did against BC. But despite all that, they got we were just talking about Hawaii. They got a big Islander of their own there. And I need to have the name in front of me, but I don't. So I'm just going to say DJ.
DJ Uiagalelei. Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Very nice. Uiagalelei. There you go. Well done. I appreciate that.
Anytime.
But anyway, this is still a very good football team in Clemson, and that's why they're a 5.5-point favorite, despite opening at a 2.5-point favorite. Your total on this one is 52 points. And right now, percentage of bets and percentage of money, all heavily on that Clemson side. I know what you're thinking, Irish fans. Here we go again. Lights are on, night game, top flight matchup, all eyes on the Irish. It's the part where they fail, right? And it's a lose-lose situation because Trevor Lawrence isn't playing or whatever kind of bullshit phrase you want to go of how this game all of a sudden Notre Dame can't quote-unquote win. Beyond that ridiculous garbage, here's what I do know. Notre Dame has a top flight, near elite defense. Clemson did look a little rough on offense, but what they didn't have at the end of the day, they didn't have the same confidence to air it out as much as they would with Trevor Lawrence. That helps the Irish out a little bit. There was also some other weird things that, for whatever reasons, Clemson's defense didn't do too well against man coverage, which was a little odd. The rushing attack also, despite the fact that ATN is very, very good and should absolutely be respected, doesn't actually do as well as you might think. There's been a few different stats that have been tossed around that their average rushes, if you take out some of the chunk plays, actually is a little bit bearable. Notre Dame's got a good rushing defense. The big question is, how big are those injuries on Clemson's side going to affect Notre Dame? And can Ian Book actually settle in, play a big game, make those quick decisions, not try to be too perfect? And can the Irish rushing attack, as they have all season, establish itself, maybe keep the ball out of Clemson playmakers' hands? I don't know if they can or not. I don't know if this will be a victory. But against all reason, against all hope, and maybe just by wearing blue and gold glasses, I'll be wearing green. I'll be convinced by the time this game kicks off that Notre Dame will be able to win it, much like I did out in the parking lot of Jerry World way back when. That feels like an eternity ago. Go ahead and give me the Irish. I believe enough in this team to keep it close within a score. Even on the Sapluse I saw actually had this as a 1-point win for Clemson. And that is important because the Sapluse does not adjust for injuries. So that would be with Trevor Lawrence. That makes me also feel pretty good about this pick. It's going to be a barn burner. I'm extremely excited and also terrified to let y'all see how I actually watch an Notre Dame game. So enjoy that on Saturday over at extralife.ndtex.com. You know where I stand. Where do you stand, Eddie?
I think Clemson at full strength is a 2, if not 3-score better team than Notre Dame. Of course, they're not full strength. Nope. Trevor Lawrence, gone. That said, Uiagalelei looked pretty goddamn good against Boston College. I mean, this walking mountain of a man, 6'5", 250, went 30 for 41, 342, 2 touchdowns, no picks.
It wasn't bad at all, good. No. Not at all.
It was pretty good. You know, you mentioned briefly that Clemson's missing a lot of guys on defense. James Glasky, linebacker, out. Mike Jones? Who? Another linebacker out. You're missing Tyler Davis. Xavier Thomas, probably their best defender, is out for the first half because of targeting. Look, if Notre Dame can't do it here, if you can't win this game, then you are all of the jokes. You are what everybody mocks you as. All, I mean, Twitter will have a goddamn field day, and I'm sick and damn tired of it. This is not going to be the Cotton Bowl where Julian Love goes out and poor Tariq gets lit on fire for two touchdowns with 2 minutes left in the half, and the game gets put completely out of whack. This is going to be like the 2015 game. This is going to be a battle all the way down to the wire. We have seen, you know, obviously Notre Dame feels really good about the rushing attack, but Ian has shown he can sling the ball when he needs to. When we played the best rushing defense in the country at Pitt, we threw the ball. Now, do we have deep threats? No. But we've got real big guys who can go up and get the ball.
Back shoulder bullshit. Let's go.
Yeah, if we gotta go 15 yards at a time, then to hell with it. Let's do it. DJ is very good. Obviously, Etienne is the best running back in the country. He's still there. He's still God tier. But you know that Clark Lee is going to have the defense ready to go. They've looked fantastic all year. You have one of, if not the best, offensive line in the country for Notre Dame. You've got a seasoned veteran quarterback who knows what to do, knows how to protect the ball. You've got a stable of running backs that are just insane. You have to win this game. You cannot let this opportunity slip away. Let people say whatever bullshit they want. We'll probably get a run back anyway. So just win the goddamn game. I will be in a tuxedo watching this away from a very small wedding party at the TV at the bar all by myself trying not to cause a scene. So that should be fun too. You have to win this game. If not, the last 3 years have been great. You know, you look at the stats, you look at the record. Since 2016, they've done a hell of a job, and they don't lose football games. You just cannot let this opportunity slip away. Because if not, then it's all been for naught, you know? I know we're not supposed to chalk it all up to one game, but has anybody been looking to any other game on the schedule at any point?
Well, the problem is now that one game is here.
Yeah. So just do the damn thing and win. Why not? It's time to win one of these. We've been close. We were close against Georgia twice. We were close against Clemson in 15. Just win one. It's time. We need to have something better than the 2012 Oklahoma. We need something at home better than the 93 FSU, because that's what this game is.
Yeah, it really is.
It's not the USC game. It's not the Georgia game. It is 93 FSU. You got number one and number four. Please do the win. We need this. We all need this. It's been a garbage year in every way. Surely we're due, right?
You would hope so. You would absolutely hope so. I agree with you. If not now, when? I mean, do you have to wait for to catch lightning in a bottle with your own stud QB, and that's the only way it can happen? But that's not what this team is built for. I think this team has built a good identity around that stable of running backs. Like you said, this offensive line is murderous, and they're going to face a depleted front seven. If not now, when? It's all in at this point, right? That's really what it feels like. And yeah, even though they may run it back, and you might hope that they catch lightning in a bottle with the ACC title game, let's draw first blood, please. For the love of God. Especially
can't win them all if you don't win this one.
Exactly. And here's the other thing. These students have been through such hell on earth right now, dealing with all the COVID bullshit, watching the president trot around the Rose Garden without a mask after going tisk tisk, you're having off campus parties. They've been sitting in their room more than anything else. They're not getting to have the normal college experience. Football games are probably the best thing that they have to something kind of normal. It's their thing. It's pretty much all of them in the stadium. If for nothing else, can we please just fucking win it for the 10,000 or so students, undergrads and graduate students, the faculty and staff in that stadium that have put up with so much bullshit all year long by having to be back in person when they probably shouldn't be, in the middle of a COVID hotspot, just give them something. For the love of God, give them a happy victory. Give them a happy moment. Give them a good memory. Like Eddie said, 2020 has been such bullshit. Clemson's had their nice things. They could probably still have them when all is said and done. Just give me this one for the love of God. That's all I want. That's absolutely all I want. Oh, God. We're finally here, Eddie. It finally is happening.
Yeah, it's a hell of a week, huh?
Yeah, and I am... And I'm going to be on fumes until I go to bed on Friday and try to reset myself for all the shenanigans that will be going down for charity. Like I said, I'm excited for this. This would be a game I really wish I could go to in person, or at the very least be watching like with a bunch of friends at a bar or something like this. But I will take you degenerates on Twitch and raising money for charity. But man, please, for love of God, and Eddie, Godspeed to you trying to keep up with this game in the middle of a wedding.
Well, luckily, it's like I said, it's for one of my best friends in the world, and the only reason I'm going is because it's very, very small, and everyone is getting tested beforehand. So, it will be the second time I have seen a friend in person in the last 9 months. So, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for you as well. Good luck, as always, with the extra life. It's always a great thing that you do, and I hope there's much success. I hope I will be able to tune in at, say, 2 o'clock in the morning from a hotel with a few drinks in to see where things are at.
That's the perfect time right there. That's the perfect time.
Yeah, so everyone do check that out this weekend. Hope you get put some big numbers on the board. Kids, let's do the damn thing, huh? I got nothing else. Also, hey, I do have one more thing.
All right.
I take that back. When we found out that this game was scheduled for early November, I feel like most of us were really excited thinking, yeah, come on up to the cold, baby. It's November. It'll be snowing. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be freezing. Kids, global warming is a problem. It's going to be 60 damn degrees at this game.
How is that
possible?
Especially when you consider when we went down to their house, we had to play in a fucking hurricane. weather.
I was a 2015 Clemson season ticket holder to sit in the very top row of the stadium in the middle of a goddamn monsoon. And we're going to put up this banner of a day. Come on. Help us out a little bit here, huh?
Well, I guess the argument is we're already helped out with some other issues outside of Clemson's control. But yeah,
no, that's fair. I guess we used our extracurricular card on pandemic. So what are you going to do?
What a fucking crazy ass year. But yeah, I won't lie. All jokes aside, I did see that weather reporter. Actually, more accurately, I heard Rakes and Jess Matana talk about it. I'm like, wait, what the fucking really? Like, why?
I was so mad. But yeah, it's gonna be a barn burner.
But hey, I just choose to believe it's gonna be beautiful weather, so that way the students can find some way to be outside and celebrate safely. That's what I'm going to choose to believe here, damn it.
I love it. Here's hoping. Kids, hug your children, find your loved ones. Get ready. It's going to be a battle. And with that, go Irish. El Gambler.
All right. Well, there we go. Yes. Make sure to join Saturday over at extralife.ndtex.com for all those shenanigans. And thank you to everybody that joined us here live on twitch.tv/herlittlesons. Make sure you also sub to the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure you join us at Discord, herlittlesons.com/discord. And of course, we're always at herlittlesons.com. And as always, go Irish, beat COVID, beat Tigers. Have a good one.